This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Hamilton joins us live in studio of Bundoran Farm. How are you, sir?
I'm well, thanks.
Get up right there. And we were talking before.
I'm a radio amateur.
We were talking before we went on the air, and I have to thank you so much for being here, because had you called me and said, look, Coy, my flight was canceled, I'm in Vermont, I have to get back for a meeting in Charlottesville, so I drove all night, I can't make your dumb little show, I would have totally understood. But instead, you drove all night to get here from Vermont.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the all-powerful media, I have to make it back for the radio. You know, I had a number of things going on. We've got a lot of stuff going on at the farm, so I needed to get down this week.
Wow. Now, how long is the drive from Vermont? Was it 10 hours or more?
Yeah, right about. That's pretty good time. Unfortunately, I took 81, which anybody who takes that regularly knows that occasionally it just turns into complete fog. I mean, 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
So. Well, especially when you hit the mountains in Pennsylvania, north of Harrisburg.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, between the orange barrels and the fog, you've got a pretty challenging. It's kind of like a video game.
Yeah, I remember those orange barrels well, as a matter of fact. Well, when we lived in upstate New York, we did 81 tons of time between here and Binghamton.
Yeah.
You know, back and forth constantly.
Yeah.
And got very familiar with that. Once you pass Harrisburg and you hit the mountains, it's just, oh, gosh.
Well, I grew up in just south of here down in North Carolina and went to college in Vermont because I was a big rebel. And I made that trip about many, many times in a 15, 20-year-old Volvo.
And the straight shot from your house to your school was what?
That was about 800 miles.
So with 13 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And you would do it in a straight shot probably?
Yeah, right up 29 to unknowingly going right by Bundoran Farm, every few months when it was time for a break.
Isn't that funny? And then years later, here you are back at
–
before we talked about the farm again, you were at Vermont – and you've heard the news breaking today that the University of Virginia has a new voice of the Cavaliers, David Kane, who's been calling games for Vermont. He comes to us from the University of Vermont.
Yeah, I was mentioning, one of the first things I did in town, I got to, somebody invited me to one of these swanky boxes at JPJ to go see the Cavaliers crush the Catamounts a little while ago. But yeah, I certainly know his voice from the radio up there. We'll have to get together now that we're in town and maybe, have a syrup tasting party.
He sounds good. He sounds very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a good selection.
He'll have to get used to saying, Cavs win, instead of, darn, that was a close one.
So
not known for our Division I sports.
Yeah. David Hamilton joins us from Bundoran Farm. Remind us, what is Bundoran Farm? Because before you came on, I said it really is being touted as the national model of how to do development in a rural area. And is that accurate? Am I being hyperbolic, or is that what you're hearing from people?
Typically hyperbolic. No, it's a model, and we think it's one important sort of tool in the toolkit of rural preservation. Easements, for example, easements funded by tax credits and things like that have been very successful in Virginia. Places like the Virginia Outdoors Foundation, the Nature Conservancy, private landowners have really stepped up, and Albemarle County is one of the places where they've really done that. But there are some properties and some property owners for whom that doesn't work, and for various reasons. And so we think that it's very important to have a method of developing property which doesn't destroy that which is important to the community, meaning productive farmland, views and view sheds, the character of a place, its water, its contributions to water quality and wildlife habitat, these kinds of things. So Bundoran Farm is a very large example of it's about 2,300 acres, 3.5 square miles.
Formerly owned by the Scott family of Scott Stadium.
That's right. Yeah, Fred Scott and Elizabeth Scott, his mother. Fred actually still lives on the property in a life estate, and Mrs. Scott just recently moved away. This is a property that was in their family. I think they purchased it the day before Pearl Harbor. Over 60 years, they assembled this just gorgeous place. And to the topic later today, not just assembled it, but they really created it or recreated it. This is a managed landscape that takes generations of stewardship to look like it does today and function as it does today, both agriculturally and ecologically.
It is a working farm.
That's right, and it will remain so. So the idea with Bundoran Farm is, the property was entitled essentially as of right for something like 166 units. We didn't think that was a good idea, neither did the Scots. And we have this way of doing things that comes in at a lot less than that. And hopefully, our easements are in place. We've preserved upwards of 90% of the productive agricultural and forestal land there.
We're talking with David Hamilton of Bundoran Farm. And so the idea is that you don't go in and do what you could do by right and just fill that farmland with homes and tons of new families and roads and traffic. You go in and say, we're only going to put in a select number of homes, and we're going to sort of create a landscape where we maintain the farm. And the farm continues to exist, and a lot of the fields continue to exist. And these people sort of, we're going to create a neighborhood in a farm versus throw in a new development on a farm.
Yeah, it's just an unchallenged assumption that when you build homes in a rural area, that the first thing that you do is terminate all the agricultural leases. And that's done in a lot of times for, what seem like very good reasons. Agriculture can make noises, it can make smells, it can create liabilities that need to be dealt with in insurance and things like that. So it's just easier in most cases to just say, find someplace else to farm. But when you say that over and over and over on literally a million acres of land of productive farmland in America each year, well, you start to run out of places to farm. And just as important for people who live in an urban area is that, this is the landscape that embodies our heritage in Virginia. These kinds of rolling pastures full of cattle and forest, majestic poplar and hardwood forest up in the uplands. It's not just something that we enjoy driving and walking and cycling through. I mean, our economy is based on this stuff. People come here because that's out there. And perversely, people move to subdivisions in rural areas, which often plow under exactly what it was they came out there to see.
Yeah, so it's incredibly ironic.
The question was, can you do one without losing the other?
And that is the vision of Bundoran Farm, really, is let's create a neighborhood. And let's be honest, these are upscale homes. I mean, it's not these aren't starter homes. This is not a place where you can go if you've never owned a home or you're moving out of your townhouse. This is really nice big lots, nice homes.
Yeah.
But these aren't million-dollar properties either. I mean, this is
There's actually a huge range. There are properties for sale right now at Bundoran that range from, I think, around 300,000 to well over $1 million. What's different about it is that when you look at it from a realtor's or a builder's point of view, you say, I'm buying a $500,000 piece of land. I'll put $1.5 million home on it, and I'll have a $2 million thing at the end. We've found that to be not at all the case. And some people who like Bundoran, like what we're trying to do, they like what comes with Bundoran, and that you get to live in a place that has, fiber optic network and a 30-mile trail network and a preserved landscape and a quiet living next to a wonderful place like Charlottesville. They don't always necessarily want to have that 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 square foot house. We actually that's one of the bits of news that we have right now is we have our first home under construction, and it's first of all the siting of it is exactly what we'd hoped. This couple, Bill and Mary Tillman, who came down from Rhode Island, they had a parcel of land they could have pushed and tried to put it right out on the top of the hill, but they didn't. They want to be set back and keep their agricultural land as part of the larger easement structure. And the home itself is great. They engaged a guy named Russell Versace, who, have you ever heard of the New Old House? Maybe he's written a book as an architect up in Middleburg that sort of says, his question is, why do homes that were built 100 years ago look better than the ones that were built 10 years ago?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he comes up with
There's so
the
many
answers.
New homes that are built recently that are just, I mean, let's be honest, they're not built well.
Yeah, and even if they're built well from a constructional point of view, sometimes builders come out and say this is a Georgian home, right? Which is very popular in this area because of Thomas Jefferson's legacy and his master builders. Well, Georgian homes actually are not. It's not just that they're red brick and white columns. They have proportions and certain windows and certain kinds of details. And so, what this guy did, Russell Versace, is he went back and sort of studied historic vernacular farmhouses and things, and said, well, here's one thing that makes a difference is that in America, in the construction environment right now, you can buy a truss joist, you can span any length, you can build anything you want. And so people are building really big boxes. This is the sort of mega roof house that you see in new subdivisions. Well, he said in the past, we were limited in our grading by what we could turn over with a spade. And we were limited in our construction by the span of timber that we could fell. And so he proposes, and in fact, our pattern book at Bundoran limits the size of the main body of the house. You can have a very large house or a very small house, but it starts from something that's the scale of what historically has been built, and we add on with porches and additions and hyphens. That's how we kind of control, in a sense, the house on steroids impulse that has taken over.
And so you'll have something new, and then the end product will be something new that sort of speaks of the old. And it'll fit right in with the landscape. David Hamilton of Bundoran Farm. I got to ask you, we got a few minutes left. All this debate about land use in Albemarle County, you're sitting back. You have a unique perspective on that.
Yeah.
You're literally creating a neighborhood that really hasn't existed before. It's something very new, very unique, not only for Albemarle County, but for the country. And it is a model, something very new here that we can be proud of. What are your thoughts when you're sitting back listening to the debate about land use?
It goes, these questions that are coming up at public meetings and that will increasingly come up as this thing advances are exactly what led us to the solution we found in New England, which is the model underneath Bundoran Farm with our partners, Celebration Associates and Crosland and Springs. We sort of were looking at the agricultural landscape and saying, development pressure is just a strategic overmatch for agriculture. And that's exactly what you see when you look at the land use taxation issue. The land is being taxed at $150 an acre or something for cattle, and it's worth, $800,000 for that 20 acres that those cows are on. And the county is saying, why are we giving this big tax break to have agriculture on land that eventually could turn into something else? The question in my mind, and what I really want to see answered is, I think there's a conflation between the two. People say, we got to keep land, we should take the money from land use and put land under easement. And people in the land use camp say this land use taxation program is an effective way of keeping land from being developed. But in my mind, those are two separate problems because, just putting a ribbon around a piece of land, it keeps it from being built on, keeps it from having roads built on it and houses. But it does not in any way guarantee the future that land looks like Albemarle County like we expect it to. I can show you farms in Albemarle County that are under easement. And that's wonderful, good for water quality, good for wildlife in some cases, though not all. But, if that land isn't actively managed by a farmer who's making it his business to take care of the place, that land does not look like what you think Albemarle County looks like. It very quickly gets grown up in invasive species and often, and then eventually, hopefully, a successional forest, excuse me. But I think that there are two separate things that are being done. These farmers that are out there, first of all, you just got to say the Albemarle County farmer is facing something that nobody has faced in American agriculture for decades and decades. He is buying, $4, $4.50, $5 diesel. He is paying $110 an acre to do weed control for pesticide application if any is needed, or fertilizer application, excuse me. And you got to think, when you or I get hit with $4 gas, we go buy a Prius. There's no Prius tractor. You don't switch down from a John Deere 2940 to a Honda Insight tractor. So these guys are at the mercy of market forces, and then their profit is too. They sell their cattle that go on to mercantile exchange in Chicago, and
it's not like it's a huge profit margin even when the profit margin is nice. It's not like it's huge.
No, it is not. And it's always a pinch. These guys are never making gigantic money. Their industry is under pressures, not just externally from those prices, but internally from large agribusiness. And at a time when we're concerned about our local food sources, about keeping viable agriculture in Albemarle County, I'm really worried. The farmers that I talk to who own land in Albemarle County and owners who lease land, land use taxation is a major force that makes those people decide to keep agriculture going in Albemarle. And I sure would hate, you know, I'm not going to say whether it would be effective or not, but I sure would hate to lose those folks who might be on the cusp.
We're talking with David Hamilton of Bundoran Farm. And before we let you go, Bundoran Farm, for those who don't know, is the site of the Albemarle County Fair, which is coming up.
That's right. It's the fair is a wonderful organization, a wonderful, wonderful event. And for y'all who don't know about it, this is run almost totally independently of the county. These are nonprofit.
Yeah, this isn't a county government thing. We say it's Albemarle County, but yeah, it's not the county government that does
That's
it.
That's right. It's a bunch of very dedicated volunteers, many of whom are farmers themselves. And, you know, if you are interested in local food, if you're interested in agriculture in this area, you need to come out to this event. It's on the 29th of July through the 3rd of August. And they have stuff every day. They have some wonderful community service, things like Special Kingdom, where special needs kids come out for the day. And also, when you they've made a real dedication lately to, you know, certainly since I've been on the farm, which is about 3 years, to really showcasing some of the local agriculture, having the 4-H kids out there with their prize animals.
See, that's what I like to hear, because yeah, I've never thought that a county fair should be a carnival.
Yeah.
We got a carnival.
Yeah.
We have it in the spring at McIntyre Park. A county fair should be more about celebrating agriculture.
Well, when I first came to Bundoran and somebody told me there was a fair here, I sort of said, oh my God, they're going to be kids smoking weed out behind the tilt-a-whirl, you know? But that's not what it is. It's a wonderful event, and you can go up and learn the difference. You teach your children the difference between a Jersey and a Holstein and a pulled Hereford, and also there's a husband calling contest, which
there
I want
go
to make sure everybody knows about. No profanity.
David Hamilton of Bundoran Farm. David, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Coy, and say hi to Brian.
I will indeed. Brian Wheeler coming up in the next hour of Charlottesville. Tomorrow we'll continue our discussion about growth and development. This is Charlottesville right now.